Good morning. My name is Johan Luque. I want to welcome everyone, especially those of you who are coming for the first time. So that's great to see new faces, and I hope you guys would join us after the service for Taste of Nations. So every third Sunday we have Taste of Nations. It's just an opportunity to connect, to talk, to eat, to see what's going on with each other. So today is Taste of Nations, and we just want to invite everyone to stay after service. So welcome again those who are coming for the first time. We have been in learning or kind of encouraging each other as a church in general to see the value, the need, the power of small groups. And so far, we have covered two Sundays talking on this subject. And last Sunday, David did a great job in really just simplifying a truth. Who remembers that truth? Who remembers? It's a very simple statement. Go ahead in the back. Yeah, but yes, but what is this, the message that David just said? It's really simple, that really is crucial for what we're trying to do. Sunday is not enough. Do you agree? Do you agree? Are you convinced of that? Great, because that is our first step in really accepting and kind of motivating ourselves to say, yes, if Sunday's not enough, then something else has to happen, right? It's like when you're eating, what's for dinner, mom or a wife or husband, and you said eggs. And you said, that's not enough. That implies that what? You have to add something else to that plate, right? So if we agree that Sunday's not enough, then we're also agreeing then that something else has to happen from Monday to Saturday, right? So, and that's what we want to really try to convince you. So if we don't do a good job these four Sundays, so this is the third one, next Sunday will be the last one, we just have to take you for a coffee and really try to convince you, break your arm, say it, Sunday's not enough. Right? So, we just want to really make sure that we see the value of small groups and the need that we have to really think in big by going smaller. We want to see a church that is growing, that is developing, but it's really paradoxical that the way to do that is by going smaller. And that's kind of our philosophy that we're trying to do with small groups. This is the year in which we're trying to implement, to set and to get those small groups going. We're hopeful that God is going to help us through this. We know it's hard. It's going to be a hard task, and we're just committed to that. So today, just before we move forward to my part of the teaching, I just want to remind us what David really said last Sunday about what was really happening in the first church, the New Testament church, when they gathered in a home. So there were four things that happened. The first one is that they were learning. They was just persevering in the teaching of the apostle. Then the next one is that they gathered to just fellowship. They just were together, just spending time to each other. And then they the communion, that's what it means by breaking bread, but also they just ate like we do. So that breaking of bread, it means two things. It's communion, but also just the normal food. And also they gathered to pray. And the result, there was growth. That's how the Bible, the book of Acts summarizes, and not just in chapter 2, but throughout the book of Acts, we see these summary statements that they said they gather and then there was growth. And they were at homes and then there was growth. So that was kind of like a theme for Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, to kind of take us through the book of Acts and say, yes, it was worth it. And because there was groups and the church was meeting at homes, there was growth because they practiced those four things. Learning, fellowship, sharing a meal, and praying. So today we're going to answer the question is, how can we prepare so that small groups are inspiring, encouraging, and disciple-making? That last sentence is very crucial. The purpose for us to do small groups is not because we want to look like a church. Again, we don't want to do small groups because we want to look like that church that I was part of that was really structured. And because they had small groups and they have all the ministries set up while they look like an actual church. We are not concerned about looking like a church. We don't want to look like something else. We just believed and we are convinced that God is leading us to do this. We're not sure even if we're going to call it small groups. We might call it home churches. We might call it life groups. There are many ways to do it. The thing is why we are doing it. And the why is because small groups, like many other things that we do, or almost every other things that we do at church, has the purpose of making disciples. The church exists, or what we do as a church, small groups, women's group, prayer nights, even Taste of Nations, anything that we do as a church has the purpose of making disciples. And you might be thinking, like, well, what does it mean to be a disciple, to become a disciple? And a disciple is a person. It's that literally in the New Testament, the word means a student who faithfully attached himself or herself to the teachings of someone that he sees as a master. So that's basically what when we see the word disciple in the Bible, is someone who sees themselves as a person that is going to pledge a pledge of faithfulness to this other person that they see as a master. For us, we see Jesus as our teacher. He's our rabbi. He's our master. He's our God. And when we say I'm becoming a disciple of Jesus, is that I'm putting Jesus' teaching as my own convictions and beliefs. And as I do that throughout my life, I'm becoming a disciple. More and more like Jesus. So small groups exist with the purpose of helping the mission and the goal that the church has to help everyone within the church to become a disciple, to be more like Jesus, more loving, more kind, more generous, and to do something out there because the world needs the church to do something out there. It's not with the purpose, again, because we are feeling guilty that we don't have a lot of things going on during the week. Then we have to create a program that is called small groups because that's what other churches are doing. We're not concerned about that. We really want to make sure that we are doing this because we see the value. And the value is that there is so much potential for many things. And today and next Sunday, we're going to be talking about what is the potential? What is it that was going to happen to me as I'm part of a small group? So how can we prepare so that small groups are inspiring, encouraging, and disciple-making? The first thing, it cannot become another Sunday thing in my schedule. The big difference that is going to happen is that small groups are supposed to be less religious, meaning that they have to feel and look and be experienced more like a family in which I'm connecting to people and with people outside of a Sunday and outside of that meeting.
Sometimes, and this is a reality that I have experienced, I don't want to go to family gatherings. And that's okay. You might experience that. But what I know is that I'm always connected with them in Colombia or here in Denver. What I'm trying to say with that is that small groups, we have, in order to have a successful small group, we have to see them as different as we see Sunday. In other words, we apply the same principle. Whatever the day is for a small group, we have to say is not enough, because an hour and a half, 2 hours, or sometimes 3 hours or an hour won't be enough to accomplish what we want to do. However, it's a better setting than a Sunday morning. Sunday morning is the gathering in which we celebrate. We come together and we bring our worship to God. We see each other and we see a bigger family. But the small group is that more intimate environment in which I'm able to go deeper in many things, and not just to grow deeper, but also to be part of what God is doing in other life. Because you hear, you cannot get this mic from me if you want to say something about what I'm saying, even though you're feeling it. Some of you might be thinking, oh, man, yes, they need to hear that small groups are also for this. And you want to get my mic. Well, you cannot do that here on Sundays. But in a small group, the mic belongs to everyone. That's an occasion for you to also be a blessing to others, to feel and to hear and to talk what God might be saying. It's the environment to growth, and not just growth internally, but also together as a family. So how do we prepare? The first thing is, do not think of small groups like other 2 hours in my calendar. And then you might be thinking, oh, you're asking me then to meet outside small groups on it, outside of Sunday, outside small group, and then what else? I'm not asking that. Organically, when small group is done the right way, Jesus' way, you will feel naturally inclined to be in touch with those people in your small group. Outside of an agenda, you call, hey, how are you doing? Did you see Pachuca lost 3-0 last night? And Cruz Azul won. Unbelievable. So, good. Yeah, man. Why are you calling me then? Not just to give you hard time. Fine. Okay, see ya. That's it. A small group allows you to have that kind of interaction. Hey, Johan, guess what? You know, my sister, she just got in a car accident, and she might need some help and someone to visit her. Can you please do that? Yes, let me call the rest of the people in a small group so that we can be praying for it. And we do that. Hey, Johan, can you do me a favor? I have family coming. I need an extra car for 2 days. Can you please let me have one of your car for 2 days? I can't. Sorry, go in and rent one. That is the opportunity that we had in a small group, that you develop that kind of trust and intimacy that it's not possible to develop on Sundays. And in that setting, that is when you create a growth, not just biblical growth. I'm not talking about that. Knowledge, no. Practical growth. So how do we prepare? First, do not think of a small group as another thing on your agenda. Think as a small group as a lifestyle culture that you're going to little by little develop. And to do that, in order to think of small group as a culture of my life, as a lifestyle, we need to learn to create margins. There is a book that is called Living Within the Margins. And the principle that we see in this book is that
You know, when you write a document, I'm going to just get this document here. You know, and you have a margin of about what, an inch normally for a college document, for a homework, it's like an inch on each side. And sometimes when I'm doing stuff like music, I say, man, that inch there is like a waste of space. So I kind of go like really narrow. And I have little margin in my document. The principle about learning to create margin in our lives in order to have effective and successful small group is that we have to be able to narrow things in our lives and give priorities to the things that are really priority and things that can help us in our personal journeys. Why am I saying this? In my experience, in order for me to be committed for our small group has been happening for maybe 3 years or so, consistently, I had to say no to other things. Creating margin for things in my life. And this is not just for small groups, it's in general. Some of us enjoy having zero margin in our lives. Even some of us even feel guilty about having 1 inch of margin. That's a waste of time. I need to get busier, to feel productive, to be committed to things and other things in sports and gyms and other kind of activity, my kids, my personal stuff, to the point that church becomes one other thing in my life. Even God becomes one other thing in my life, not that thing. So creating margin in our lives will allow us to really see small groups as they are supposed to be seen. Not the competition of my other activities. Not the competition of Sunday service. Not a replacement of Sunday service. But other tool that God has provided to the church in order to accomplish the purpose of becoming disciple. Some of us are really gonna struggle, and I'm just saying this as a fact, being able to find space in order for us to commit to a small group, because there is no margin. Our page, our lives is already so packed that we are just, I can't add other things to my life. What is the result of that? And some of you, honestly, are really good at living without a margin and managing the stress that it creates, because it creates stress and anxiety. And when we think of small groups as something that is going to add commitment to my life, and kind of, oh man, it's Tuesday night, I have a small group. I wish I wanna go because I have this thing tomorrow night after work, and then Thursday, and then going to the mountains, Friday, coming back Sunday morning. Man, I wish I had Tuesday open. That's what happens. That's what happens when we don't control the margins, because we add too much things to our thing. So a small group becomes a competitor of the other things. And in order to have to prepare wisely and doing small groups Jesus' way, we have to learn to create margins. And Jesus said it somehow in Matthew 6:25-27. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? 27 says, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? One of the theories or one of the thoughts behind the tendency of in many people to add things and pack their life with so many things that they don't have a margin is because they find they think that the idea of being busy is being more responsible with life.
being busy for many equal to being more responsible and therefore more productive. But without knowing what is creating is going against this, what Jesus is saying here is adding stress and concern and worry to your own life in order for us to participate and to really see the beauty of being a small group. We have to learn to live without the stress so that when we think of small groups, we don't think of another commitment. We're not trying to, oh man, I wish I didn't have this today. I have felt like that many times with my small group. And I believe everyone else in my small group have felt like that. But that's not the norm. An exception. And I have to go back. Why am I feeling like this reluctant about meeting with the family that God provided to me to help me in my journey in becoming more like Him? Does that make sense? It's like, man, I don't want to hang out with my family. And feeling, oh, we have this family dinner. Talking about the blood family. And I feel like, oh, man, I don't want to go and see my dad's face and my brother's face. Who made that up? Monthly family dinner. Sometimes I feel like that with my small group. And I have to go back and review. And I see that the root of that feeling, of that reluctancy towards my small group, is the fact that I am not seeing that as God intended for me to see it. And if I don't prepare for a small group, having the right motives and intentions, it's not going to taste as it is supposed to taste. It's going to taste like boring and something else that is competing with my other activities in my schedule. That's how for many people prayer nights feel. That's how for many people church feels. Something else that is competing with the beautiful Sunday morning that I can just stay in my bed until 11 a.m. and go to brunch. We don't see the beauty of what God has provided to us. It's always going to feel like that. And in order for small groups to be successful and for us to have an inspiring, encouraging, and disciple-making approach to small groups, we have to learn to live within the margins. Learning to give priority to the things that I should. Because otherwise, small groups is going to taste like they are not supposed to. The other things as we prepare to commit and to engage in small groups that we need to do, the other things that we need to do is to learn to rest emotionally, spiritually, and physically in Jesus. And I say in Jesus on purpose. Because while there are those who really enjoy living without a margin in their lives, being super busy and stressed all the time, and anxious and kind of like in panic, while there are those people, there are others that have a margin like of 5 inch. And they just want to have as much as free time as they want so that they can enjoy all the subscriptions to all the possibilities that now we have to stay in bed. Talking about Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, Sling TV, and all those things that you can have that take you from being super busy to be really just making life about resting and work, going to my couch to watch TV. I am guilty of that as well. So learning to rest emotionally, spiritually, and physically in Jesus, not just in Netflix or Hulu or whatever, is in Jesus, is a priority for us in order to engage small groups with the right perspective and approach in a healthy way. What does that mean? Well, if we're not resting enough, if we're not feeling the energy that it takes after a good day of work, thinking, okay, you know what, I really want to go to to my small group, and I'm thinking, okay, I want to go home and finish, you know, what I have to do and keep, you know, trying to do other things and maybe just watch Netflix until then. Netflix is asking you, are you still watching me? Are you guilty of that? I am. And I'm like, shut up. I'm still watching. I pay for it. So the other extreme is that precisely, is that we have to come to small groups with the perspective of rest in Jesus. In other words, when we come to a small group, we have to think that Jesus is going to be there like he was in the beginning. Genesis 1:1, when he says the Spirit of God was what? Hovering. One of the pastors that I really like the way how he put it, one of my pastors in the past, he put it this way: the Spirit of God was giving the universe before it was created a massage, preparing it for what he was going to do. When we see small groups at that atmosphere and environment of, man, I'm going to just go to my friend's house, sit on the couch, and just talk, eat, and hang out with Jesus and the family. That is a different perspective that creates that rest that we all need and are longing for. Because we are longing. And Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Sling TV, and all those memberships that we can have, they know that people are tired of living without margin. And that the tendency right now is that people are really trying to go to the other pendulum, or the other side of the pendulum, trying to find that rest. And we are convinced that being in a couch for 3 hours is giving rest, and it doesn't. Maybe physically, maybe it takes you away from the concerns of that moment. But if we don't rest in Jesus, those things that are in our mind are going to come back. So resting emotionally, physically, spiritually in Jesus is crucial. And that's what he says also in Matthew 11. Come to me. Come to me. That's so important. That's the invitation to a small group. It's Jesus inviting us, come to me. Not come to Johann's house. It's come to me. That's what Jesus is saying. All you who are weary. This isn't a statement. This is not if you are weary. No, it's Jesus knows that. It's an implication. It's implied that all of us are weary and burdened. And I will give you rest. He says, I will. Jesus is saying that. I will give you rest. So approaching small group with that mentality is going to help us a lot. That when I go to my small group, I know that Jesus, if I put my faith in him, he is going to give me rest. It's him. And he promised that he is saying it's a guarantee. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What he's saying is take my teachings on you and you will find as you walk on them that is going to create sense of peace and rest that you need. That's what it means by that statement. His yoke is that, his teaching. For I am gentle and humble in heart. That's the invitation. And these are for leaders. As we are thinking in being leaders of small groups, Jesus is waiting for the group to go there to experience his gentleness, his kindness, also his yoke. His yoke, like I said, is his teaching, his truth. Teachers and leaders, we have to be like that too. Be gentle and humble. Small groups are not to try to fix someone's problems in life, and it's not a show-off kind of opportunity either for leaders to show knowledge. It's a humility environment that we have to provide for each other to create trust. And as we create that, the small group growth in the areas that they need to, You will find rest for your souls. That is one of the goals that we want to make sure that we are experiencing in small groups. Rest for the soul. Why? Because we are weary. Jesus said it, all you who are weary. All is saying it, not in case of when you feel, we all are like that. You see the news, when you see something, it creates that. When you hear from your family, it's like there is always something going on that produces that need to rest. And Jesus knows that small groups are that space. We don't have an opportunity Sunday mornings to do that. To kind of, hey, you know what, Pastor, can you please just pray for me? I don't feel like I want to be here, but I just came. Would you just give me a hug? I need that. Small groups, that is a space for that. Small groups is when you can go to your leader or to brother. It doesn't have to be the pastor. All of us have that gentleness and humility from God that we can share with each other. But it has to be a process. It has to be that willingness in which we go to with that mentality that is beyond that a meeting, is beyond a program. It's more like a family. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Jesus is saying with that, he is comparing his teaching to that of the Pharisees. And this is very important for those of us who enjoy hitting others with the Bible in their head. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's comparing his teaching with that of the teachers of that time. The people of Israel, the people that was listening to this, the disciples, they were so tired of not finding joy and peace in their faith because the teachers of the scriptures gave them a list of regulations and laws. In order for you to be accepted by God and by us, you need to do all this. You didn't wash your hands before you eat. Sinner. Little things like that. And people were so tired, spiritually, emotionally, of not finding joy and acceptance before God because of the teaching. The legalism that was so strong. And Jesus said, my teaching is not like that. My teaching produces freedom and rest. Small groups are supposed to produce that too. Rest. And that's why many people find even small groups a hard place, even harder. Because some people among the small group are just show off of knowledge. So show off of, I did this and I did that and I went over there and I saved many people. And who cares, man? That might be good for you, but right now we need this community of humility, this fellowship of encouragement. I'm not saying just to be alcahuetas. Can someone help me with that word? Alcahueta. How do you say that, Pastor Hugo? Huh? Oh, someone please help. Huh? Alcahueta. Spoiler? Huh? Enable. Yeah, we don't want to enable people. Ah, you know what? Just come here, and all you need is our small group is going to be called teddy bears. No, we don't want that. We don't want just people to feel like they're going to just be tolerated in everything they want to do in life. No, I'm not talking about that. But it has to be gentle and humble. And there has to be a yoke. Jesus said it's a yoke. There has to be a teaching. There has to be humility. So three principles as we prepare for a small group. And I'm saying this, please think about it. As you consider small groups, in order for you to enjoy the ride, to really be, wow, this is so good. Do not see small groups as another program, another thing that you're going to add to agenda. Just think of a lifestyle. I have small group. I have friends. I have other men that I can, hey, you know what? Can we talk about this? Sure, man. You create that environment of trust, intimacy. Small groups, as we prepare by just learning to create the margins. We have to really review the things that we are committed to and just make sure that we don't going to add something else that is going to create more stress. We don't want that. But we might need to say no to other things. And small groups are also successful, and we prepare for them as we rest emotionally in Jesus, spiritually in his presence. As we just say, God, I want to think of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever that day is that I'm going to meet with my friends. And not just that day, but just the relationship as something that is going to give me rest, that is going to free me from guilt and feeling like bad, but for not being the perfect believer that my grandpa told me that I should be. And then when you feel like, well, I have people that I understand that it's not easy, but are also walking with me and challenging me gently and with humility, it feels fun. It feels like I want to be part of that. And what is the result? I believe from my own experience and what I see in one of the stories that I want to finish with is that deeper friendship leads to greater growth. Deeper friendship leads to greater growth. And this growth can be internally or can be also numbers. When we develop that trust, that friendship in which I know that I'm known and that I know someone else and that despite of that we love each other, man, that creates growth. We can invite others to that kind of relationship. And this is what we see with Jesus and Peter at the end. Jesus' strategies for doing church was, I'm going to start with a church of 5,000. Jesus just went to a lake and he preached. 5,000 people came. That was his church in a day. Boom, 5,000 people. And then he said, you know what? I think a lot of you, you're just here for Taste of Nations. You know what? That's fine. Then he went to 500. And then for the 500, he picked about 70, 72. And he said, you know, I see you guys are interested. I'm going to just give you a test. Go and preach. Go and share what you have learned from me. And they went and they did it. And he said, you know what? It's still too much. I can't share everything about me and my father to 72. Who knows how many of you are like Judas? So let's go to 12. And then from the 12, he said, you know what? Still I need more intimacy. He went to 3, right? And then from 3, he went to 1. The deeper the relationship, greater the growth. That one was Peter. And Peter became, you know, the leader of the church. When Peter just needed Jesus to hug him, that's what Jesus did. Peter was a traitor, almost equally as Judah was. And Jesus said, you know what? I just want to know that you are really committed to this loving relationship. And when Jesus met Peter after Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, Peter discovered that what Jesus was doing was taking him to a deeper friendship, to a deeper relationship that allow a deeper growth and maturity in Peter. And Peter became the leader, one of the leaders. He was given a lot of honor among the disciples. Yes, he was stubborn. He was hot-headed, yes. But he was humble in acknowledging that he needed to go deeper deeper and deeper in that relationship with Jesus. And when he did, he was able to discover that he really got to know Jesus more than many, many billions of people have done. What a privilege. What a privilege. So deeper, the deeper the relationship, the greater the growth. And small groups are a better environment to accomplish that, because you can develop that one-on-one relationship with someone in your group that might help you in your walk with Jesus. So we will continue this theme on next Sunday. But just as you think this week, am I ready? Am I willing? Am I encouraged to be part of a small group that really feels like a family? I think this is not about another program that we want to create here. We just want to allow people to connect, to become a friend, to be known as you are, and be able to know others and love them as they are.